In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We've had quite a week. This time last week, I knew that we weren't going to be able to have a liturgy on Monday because of the weather, but I thought otherwise it would just be an inconvenience. But for some of us, that's all that it amounted to, maybe just more of an inconvenience than we thought. Some people in our parish have had some serious water damage done to their homes due to cracked pipes. We've even had people who've lost their lives. There was a boy in Conroe who died of hypothermia because he was living in a mobile home and obviously didn't have any heat. You might ask, how is it possible that we live in the state that is the number one producer of energy in the United States and really the energy capital of the world? How is it possible that people don't have enough energy to heat their homes when it gets cold? It's not like we've never had a day or two of sub-freezing temperatures before. Maybe this is a little bit colder than we're used to, but it's happened before and we've been able to deal with it. Well, we're probably going to be finding out in the coming weeks, but I expect that one way or another it's going to boil down to people making bad decisions and not allocating the right resources to enable the energy to get to the right place where it was needed. But there's a spiritual lesson that we can draw from this, because we could also ask, how is it possible that people are Orthodox Christians and they are members of the church where all of God's grace is available to them, all the power of the Holy Spirit is available to them, and yet they're wallowing in sin and even despair because they can't figure out why they're not able to overcome the sins in their life? Well, I'm going to suggest that it's because of the same thing. It's bad decisions, misallocating resources, and not allowing the energy to get to the right place. In the Proverbs, we hear, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. And the point of that proverb is, if you have a gossip, that gossip foments strife. And if you take that gossip out of the equation, then the fire goes out because that gossip is feeding the flames. But you could also take that same principle and apply it to other things. Why do many people in our time struggle so much with lust? Well, they're feeding themselves on things that feed that lust. They're watching porn on the internet. They're watching entertainment that maybe isn't exactly porn by at least contemporary definitions, but it feeds their lust. They're listening to music that feeds their lust, and then they're wondering why they're so consumed with lust. Well, if you feed the fires of your lust constantly, well, then you're going to have lust. On the other hand, if you cut off the source of that lust, if you cut off these temptations, the fire is eventually going to go out. Also, if you're struggling with anger or resentment towards somebody, well, if you're constantly focusing on how someone has wronged you or why you have a right to be angry, well, then you're feeding the fire of that passion. But on the other hand, if you turn that temptation into something good and pray for that person, you're snuffing out that flame. You're cutting off the supply of fuel. And of course, a big part of our problem with sin is not just the fuel that comes from the outside, but it's the fuel that is already there within. But even that can be rooted out by God's grace. But this requires that we cooperate with God and allow the roots of sin to be pulled out by the Holy Spirit, and for the Holy Spirit to purify us and to begin to bring forth good fruit in our lives. And this is the primary reason why we fast, because we're trying to cut off the fuel that's feeding the passions and put forth greater effort towards that, because where there is no wood, there the fire goes out. But while we want to cut off the fuel supply that fires our passions, there are fires in our lives that we want to feed. We have friendships that if you neglect a friendship, that friendship is eventually going to die out. You might still have that person as someone that you consider to be a friend, but if you don't have an ongoing relationship that you're cultivating with that person, it's not really going to be the kind of friendship that it once was. Well, the most important friendship you can have in this life is in a marriage. And if you're not cultivating that marriage, if you're not putting effort into making that marriage a positive thing for both of you, that something that you're both supporting, if you're not cultivating your spouse and nurturing them, eventually the fire of that marriage is going to go out. The love that you once had that drew you together is going to be extinguished. This also is true, we could say, of our relationship with any other person, with our parents, with our siblings. But it's also true of our relationship with God. Are we reading the scriptures regularly? Because that's spiritual fuel. Are we living our life in accordance with what we read in the scriptures, if we are reading the scriptures? Are we going to church? Are we attending the services? Are we supporting the church with our time and our treasure and our talents? Because that's how we fuel our spiritual life. And if we're misallocating our resources, and because we all have 24 hours in a day, we all have so much energy that we're able to expend, but if we're spending our time on things that are actually hurting us rather than on things that are benefiting us, we're feeding the wrong fires. We're feeding the fires that will destroy us rather than the fires that will keep us warm and purify us. As we prepare to enter into Lent, we need to especially work on starving our sins and not feeding them, but instead to actively feed the flames of our love for God and our love for those that are around us. You only have so much time, you only have so much energy, and you decide every moment how you're going to spend your time and your energy. When you do that, you're stoking the flames of one fire or another. But when you choose not to spend your time and your energy on the things of God, you're extinguishing the fuel that is enabling you to live a Christian life. And given enough time, that fire will go out. On the other hand, if you continue to feed them, then God's grace will, even if it's just a very small flame, will eventually grow into a burning fire that will consume your sins, but illumine you and make you the kind of a Christian that you want to be. This is why we put forth more effort during the fast, because we're trying to reorient ourselves. We're trying to learn how to allocate the resources that we need to so that we can get the grace of God in our life as we need it, and to cut off those things that would harm us. This is what the fast is all about, and this is what we need to devote ourselves to. And so we have a few weeks. This is the first week of the Triodion, and before you know it, we'll be entering into Lent. You need to be thinking now about what you're going to be doing, and even start doing some additional efforts, because if you don't hit the ground running when it comes to Lent, what will happen is that the fast will be over before you know it, and then you'll be going to confession before Pascha, and you'll be saying, man, I blew it. I didn't really do anything this fast. And you'll be hearing the homily of St. John Chrysostom about those who waited until the 11th hour. But you're not supposed to wait till the 11th hour all the time. That's not the point of that parable. The point is that God's grace is always available to you as long as you have breath in your body. But we don't want to presume upon God's grace. We want to allow God's grace to change our lives and to make us to be who God wants us to be. Amen.